yesterday morning, I was getting ready to speak about this year. What are you speaking over your life? That was the message for yesterday morning. So we came early and I'm sitting down. This is why sometimes during the worship you don't see me here. Sometimes there is an urge within my heart to stay on my lazy chair and listen to what the boss is saying. You know, sometimes right before services, I have several notes and a thought is given. I will write it down, sometimes several thoughts, and then I have a little folder that says, in the oven.
In the oven.
Because it's a bunch of raw ideas with scriptures. And usually I preach about this sometime in the near future, in the long future. So, that has been happening lately. It has been happening lately. That I have the sermon ready to go, and when I get to the office to review my notes, I've got a blank. And sometimes when I don't want to give up, I can see my notes and it's right in front of me. And I get frustrated and it's all right. Am I missing something here? And that's when I have to go to the oven, and pick up some of the notes and then he fill in the blanks. Yesterday I was thinking about to talk, what are you speaking over your life? Early in the morning when they came in, I couldn't find the notes. I can't believe on this. I can't believe on this. Why are you doing this to me? And I kept fussing about this. Then a voice asked me, what is your problem? Can't you trust me to fill your lips? It's not a matter of trust. I like to be in charge when I'm preaching. It's a little uneasy for me to wait for you to fill my lips. So you're trying to tell me how to run my business? Not at all. Go back to your notes. So I went to the oven. And then I came to the sermon yesterday morning. Wired to be healed. Holding fast to what God has given to us. And the reason that we lose our healing is because we don't hold fast. And the reason that we don't hold fast is because not 90% of the time we are trying to be healed with our minds. As soon as I went through the notes and put the scripture that was given to me, and I'm ready to come, I'm looking for my pen, I go back to my desk, and there it was. All right? I picked it up, and I had it on the top of my stack. But when I got here, don't you dare, boy. All right then. Can I use this tomorrow? Yes. Great. So I didn't have to study for today. Yet, I came early. I was reviewing my notes. Everything's okay. And before I came here, two scriptures were given unto me. So what is the title of tonight's meditation? What are you speaking over your life? Many years ago when they moved into Baltimore City, I met a young man. And I was astounded and shocked how negative that young man was. I mean, every single thing that came out of that young man's life was negative. And we were talking for about 30 minutes. I said, dude, you need help. He said, yes, I do. My life is a mess. I said, no. Stop talking about like this. What do you mean to say? Nothing works in my life. Good grief. Can you be a little bit more positive? How could I be positive? And then the guy gave me a list of bad things that happened to him. I said, you need Jesus. Oh, I am a Christian. I said, I know. Now you need to become a believer. What's the difference? Believers believe in Jesus, not on the circumstances or what have happened to them. Believers believe in the word, not on what they are seeing. So we go back and forth. I said, you know what, can I pray for you? Well, sure. I ain't losing nothing. So I pray for this guy. And I don't even remember what I pray for him. And I did some serious prayers. Mind you, I am on 22nd Street and Howard Street. Right there, in the parking lot. People passing, everybody's looking. One guy asks, what is this nutcake doing? Leave the man alone, man, he's a crackhead. And I'm praying, I'm not paying attention. I'm here, bam, 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 bam. By the time I finish, the Lord told me to talk to that man in a way, strong way, but gentle at the same time. So listen, dude, you better stop talking about yourself and about your life the way that you talk. Because if you continue to do so, you will regret. And somehow, the way that was spoken, it kind of hit him. What is wrong with my way of talking? And then I took him to the scripture that I'm going to show you today, tonight. You know, sometimes we are Christian people. We are we have good intentions. But because we have trained ourselves talking negative, hearing people talking negative all around us, sometimes parents talking negative about around us, sometimes spouses and children talking negative, we picked up that germ, that disease of talking negative. And it might become a habit without us even noticing. Brother Harry, can you give me Matthew 12, starting on verse 34? This is a heavy thing here. This is heavy. Brood of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? Speak. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What are you speaking over your life? And this is why we have to guard our hearts. Watch this. Brother Harry, may I have the backslide translation here, please? You have minds like a snake pit. Yikes. How do you suppose what you say is worth anything when you are so foul-minded? It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. Did you get that?
Yes.
In other words, we've got to watch what we are speaking over our own lives, folks. If this is correct, people that are always speaking negative means that their heart is full of negative things. So what we need a renewing of the heart. A renewing of the mind. You know, something got to be changed. But you know what? God is not going to invade our hearts and change things around. We've got to take the first step. Watch this. May I have the NLT, brother, please? You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
So what you say, preacher, we need to watch what we let into our hearts. Because whatever our heart is filled of, this is what we will be speaking about. And therefore, we need to be careful. We need to be watchful of what are we speaking over our lives. The next verse says the following. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. This is heavy. Every time that somebody opens their lips and they are talking something bad, something negative, according to Jesus, your heart is full of junk. Are you with me here?
Yes.
On the other hand, a good person, you know, somebody that is positive, somebody that has a godly attitude, somebody that has lots of God within them, will be not spilling out all that poisonous stuff that is inside. Listen to the next scripture, 36. This is about something that people often don't think about. And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every
word you speak.
What are we speaking over our lives? Have you ever thought about that one day we're going to be before the judgment throne of Christ? This is not the tribunal of Christ. Let me use this word. The tribunal of Christ. This is not to determine that you're going to go to hell or to heaven. You're already saved. But the scriptures speak about a judgment throne, a tribunal. On that tribunal, we will be rewarded for the things that we did. And I guess that if we are the kind of negative people, always talking bad, always talking negative word, it might deduct from the blessings that we will get. What kind of blessings? I happen to believe that we will be assigned places on the table when the banquet, the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place. I think that we will all have places on the table. And I believe that the place on the table will be determined by how much we did or didn't for God. Follow me here. There is 6 billion people on planet Earth, right? We know that 1.5 billion are communists or atheists, don't believe in nothing. That's China. Let's say that they have 100 million people there that are saved. Let's give them that. You still have, they have 1.5 and a half billion people. Let's say that 500 million is Christians. Devout, genuine Christians. You still have 1.5 billion people that is not saved, or that don't know God or are not interested in knowing God. Then you move over to India, 1.49 billion people in India alone. Let's be generous and say that India has 100 million saved people. Make it 200. So you still have 1.3 billion. When you add that to China, we are at 2.8 billion people. You are with me so far, right? This is between communists and Hindus. Then they are saying that the Muslim population is already 1 billion people. I'm not talking about Christian Arabs, I'm talking about Muslims. If they are correct, we are now in 3.8 billion people. Are you with me so far? If you deduct that from the total world population, we will have 2.2 billion people left that are Christians. And that includes Catholics and all kind of stuff that call themselves Christian, Christian Science, Jehovah Witness, and everything in between. Let's assume, let's be extra generous, and assume that from these 2.2 billion Christians, 1 billion are true Bible believers. You with me so far?
Yes.
On the marriage supper of the Lamb, there is going to be a long table. May even be a U. Why? Jesus could be on the center of the U, so he could reach, could see people and reach everybody on both sides. I don't know. I happen to believe there's going to be a long table, because the Bible speaks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. One day, the sons of Zealot were fighting with the disciples about who would be sitting on the right and the left hand of Jesus. They are fussing among themselves, so the mother came, "Master, I would like to ask you a favor." Being Jesus, I'm thinking, he already knew what she's going to ask, but well, let this fool go around. "Yes, go right on. These are my two boys." "Yeah, I know them. Can you make this one sit down on your left and this one on your right?" Jesus said, "Woman, you don't know what you're asking. They cannot drink the cup that I'm about to drink." "Oh, yes, we can. Oh, yes, we can. You see, we can." And I said, "Indeed, you will. But those places on my right and on my left is not to me to give it away." Are you with me so far? It's going to be given to the ones to whom has been assigned before the foundation of the world. When he says in here, and I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak, I think this is one of the things, the criteria that's going to be used to determine, for example, how closer to the master you're going to be sitting on the table. It's not that you're going to be in the table forever. It's only 7 years, 3.5 years, we're going to be at that table. Can you think about the amount of angels serving us? Oh, Lord, have mercy. And what they're going to have in Heaven's Bakery on that marriage supper? Lord, have mercy. Can't even think about it, I get hungry. You with me so far, right?
Yes.
But few of us give any attention to the fact that one day we shall give account for every word that we speak. Well, this is not the King James. Give them the King James. "What I say unto you, that every so simple. Then when you go to verse 36, watch this. 37, rather. "For by thy words thou shalt be justified,
and by thy words thou shalt be condemned."
So you may be thinking, "Well, preacher, what does it got to do with my healing?" What are you speaking over your life? Are you declaring that you are a diabetic? Are you declaring that you have arthritis? Are you declaring that you have high blood pressure? Are you declaring that you have a carpal tunnel syndrome? What are you speaking over your life? "Well, but the doctor said," who cares? A diagnosis is not a disease. A diagnosis is not a disease. A symptom does not necessarily mean that it is an illness. Somebody came, "Preacher, I need you to pray for me. I'm going to have a heart attack." I said, "Good." "What do you mean, good? My goodness, what kind of preacher you is? I said, "You already said you're going to have a heart attack. What do you mean to do?" I want you to agree with me and pray that I won't. No, I'm not going to agree with you that you're going to have a heart attack. You crazy? Well, I'm feeling a pain right here. And that is a heart attack. We prayed and it got worse. I said, call 911. Person was taken to the clinic. Whatever they want, they take the person. And they got in there, they did all the echocardiogram, electrocardiogram, whatever gram they had to do. The heart is 100% good. It was GERD. It was reflux. It was acid reflux. What are you speaking over your lives? Are you with me so far? I mean, good grief. Folks, let's watch what we are speaking. Let me tell you this. According to Solomon, in Proverbs 18:21, I like the Message Bible better than anyone. Your words carry weight. Did you know that? Read it with me. Words kills. Words, they are either or fruit. You choose. Are you with me here? What are we speaking over our lives? Words can actually kill people. Back into the story of that young man, he's kind of astounded, shocked with what I said. He left, and he left pretty upset. I met him 6 months later. He's not looking all trashy, nor smelly. Whoa, how are you, brother? I'm good. So that's the spirit. What happened? Nothing changed. But I went to church. And I reconciled myself with God. Amen. Amen. Right after that, he had a seizure. And they took him to the hospital. There was a tumor in his brain. And they cut him and took a piece of his brain. So the daughter contacted me. My father's in the hospital. He wants you to come and pray for him. So what happened? They just did a surgery. They found a tumor in his brain. Why didn't he call me before? I don't know. So I go to visit him at the Maryland University Hospital on Green Street or something like that. Green something. And there he was. So I walk in. How are you doing, fighter? Fighting here. Amen. I'm doing good. So that's the spirit. God's going to get you out of this. He told me, I'm asking God for one more chance. And I promise God that if I can get off of this one here, I will never again say anything negative about my life, even if everything is going wrong. I said, wow, let me agree with you in prayer. And we agree in prayer. Would you know that that man, within 3 months he got off the hospital, we were able to get him hooked up with the government so he could get disability. Now, you know, they took a piece of his brain. He got a little help from the government. Now he gets his own place. He said always wanted to have his own little car. Since that day, this man has owned 5 cars. And all of them paid in full. They're not brand new. But somehow when somebody hits one of his car, God sent him another one better than the one he had before. The power of words. Words kill and words give life. Amen. My friends, what are we speaking over our lives? One may be thinking now, so what do you want me to speak over my life? Speak God's word over your life. Huh? I mean, if you don't know what to speak over your life, speak God's word. They always work. Listen to Isaiah 55:11. Read it with me. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it it will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. So instead of speaking negative words over our lives, we speak God's words over our lives. Why? It will always, always produce fruit.
Amen.
So if you're feeling sick, I'm healed by the stripe of Jesus. If you're feeling weak, you say, now I'm strong in the strength of the Lord.
Yeah.
You're feeling that you can do it, I can do all things.
Through
Christ Jesus who strengthens me. We're going to speak the word of God over our lives so that what God has intended to happen in our life will indeed be accomplished.
Amen.
Are you with me so far?
Yes.
He says in there, it will accomplish all I want it to.
Yes.
Not only will accomplish, but it will also prosper everywhere I send it.
Yes. Amen.
What are you is speaking over your lives? Well, the doctor said, I have lymphoma. And you keep speaking, it's over your life. You end up having lymphoma. I already have it. Then you have, because you're saying that you have it. But the doctor say, I have it. But God says that it's going to heal you. Somebody just asked me recently, what do you want me to say? You say whatever you want to say. But I would stick with the word of God.
Yes.
Because the word of God always produces fruit.
Yes.
Always produces fruit. And it will accomplish what God wants it to be accomplished. So if God says that by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed, and you keep talking, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus, according to 1 Peter 2:24, according to Isaiah 53, 4, and 5. You keep speaking that word, the Bible says that the purpose that God sent that word will be accomplished. You will be healed because you're speaking the word of God over your life. Are we still together here? We don't want to be talking nonsense over our lives because I believe in the same way that God's word will accomplish what God wanted to accomplish. When we speak negative about ourselves, I think it will happen too. The part of your brain that controls your healing is the same part of the brain that controls your speech. This is science. This is not Pastor Paul's idea. Go online. New England Journal of Medicine, 1996, August edition. It's there. It's science. 2,200 people who were tested, people who spoke about negatively about themselves, especially about a specific disease, took between 10 to 15 years to get healed, and half of them died of the very disease. On the other hand, 1,200 and change people that chose to speak the word of God over the very same illnesses and disease lived an extra 25 years. Are you with me here?
Yes.
So instead of speaking whatever the doctors may have said, instead of repeating whatever the doctors may have said, I'm going to speak the word of God over my life. Now, our tongue can also be used as a hearing instrument. And sometimes when we address other people in the wrong way, we could contribute to further damage. Did you know that? In the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 18, the Backslide translation says this. Read it with me. Rash language. Have you ever thought about that? Rash language will cut and it will maim. So we should be careful and we should watch out the words that we speak over ourselves, the words that we speak over our children, the words that we speak over our spouses, other brothers and sisters in the church, the words that we speak over our own life. You know, it is sad to hear that we have many people maimed in church because of some rash words that were spoken to them on their childhood and teenagehood. Are you with me here? What are we speaking over our lives? Words or rash language cuts and maims. Let us not be the ones who will maim even further anybody else in our path. And to do that, we've got to watch the rash language. And I know that's going to be times that your patience will be tested. You don't even have to put your hand on your mouth. Just say, "You're blessed of the Lord."
Amen.
That's going to kind of steer away the desire of saying something that we shouldn't. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Listen to the New Living Translation, the same scripture. Some people make cutting remarks.
But the words
provide. I'm asking you tonight, use your lips with wise words, anointed words that will bring healing to the people around you. Amen? Even when we don't feel like doing it. A few weeks ago, somebody did something really nasty to me. And I'm ready to fire. And then that little voice, Praise the Lord. I just walked away. But in 24 hours, a person came to me and said, "Preacher, yes, excuse me, I am sorry. Yesterday, I kind of lost it, and it had nothing to do with you. I had a bad day. Can you forgive me?" I said, "Do I have any other choice?" And then the person looked at me, "What?" I said, "Yes, you're already forgiven. I can't afford to spend 48 hours mad at you for getting mad at me for something that I have nothing to do with. So you were forgiven on the spot. Thank you. But why you had to say that?" I said, "I had to get some laugh out of this, didn't I? It didn't cost anything." But you know what? We've got to watch what we are speaking over our lives and over the life of other people. Because words can make some big damage to other people. But the words of the righteous will heal with God. I had a few other things here to say, but let me put one more thing here and I'm going to stop. Did you know when they said to you, I show you the scripture talking about judgment? Some of you were looking to me, I could look at your faces and I could imagine what was going through your mind. What in the world word has to do to be at the dinner table with Jesus? Remember when I was talking about the judgment throne and people who got their place? And I'm looking through across the auditorium here, and some of you are, is he nuts? Brother Harry, can you give us Psalms 15, 1, 2, and 3 on the Message Bible? Are you invited to dinner at God's house, at God's throne? Read it with me. God, who gets invited to dinner at your place? How do we get on your guest list? Well, there is a criteria for you to be invited to God's place for dinner. What is it? Verse 2. Walk straight. Act right. Tell the truth. Number 3. Don't hurt your friend. Don't blame your neighbor. You know, the way that we talk to people, we are pretty much determined how much we've got or how much can we get into God's presence. Are you with me here?
Yes.
So, preacher, what are you trying to say? Be careful what you say to other people. Be careful the words that you are using, not only to other people, but over your own life. Because words can maim, can hurt. But the words of the righteous, the word of the wise, will heal people.
Amen.
Words can kill, words can heal. And we are the ones who choose what will it be. I'm wrapping up by asking you tonight. Stop speaking maim words over your life. Stop speaking negative words over your life. Stop being a parrot. Being a parrot. Yeah, repeating what the doctor have said about you. And if you got to say something over your life, say what God's words says about you. You will be getting results right away, because his words will not go back to him void. It will rather accomplish what God intended that word to be. Amen?
Amen.
May God sanctify our lips.
Amen.
Be healed.